Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about state agencies being directed by the governor's office to prepare for $800 million less in taxpayer money for the next fiscal year, and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's recent trip to Springfield. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop.
Do you know what elected officials in Illinois are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want to make sure that your voice is heard? If so, then you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch how your elected officials make decisions, hold them accountable for their actions, and be a more informed citizen. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to get involved in the democratic process and to make a difference in your community. Subscribe today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here are some of the top stories from the past week. In the wake of a directive from Governor J.B. Pritzker's office involving a revenue shortfall in the proposed 2025 state budget, some are saying, "I told you so." Kevin Bessler has that story.
In a memo from Deputy Governor Andy Menar, state agency directors are being asked to prepare for $800 million less in available revenue. State Representative Marty McLaughlin is a member of the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, which realized that new taxes would have to be implemented to balance the budget.
It flew directly into the face of what the governor was saying in his February address, and his flowery fiscal forecast suddenly fell to pieces.
State Representative Adam Niemerg says the governor needs to make cuts from his proposed budget.
It is absolutely unbelievable that he would double down in his order to raise taxes on the working people of Illinois while illegal immigrants continue to receive handout after handout.
The General Assembly has until May 31st to pass a budget with simple majorities. I'm Kevin Bessler.
From more state taxpayer funds for Chicago public schools to what kinds of deal can be made with the Chicago Bears, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson laid out his priorities to legislative leaders. Katrina Peterson reports.
Johnson visited Springfield Wednesday. He met with various legislative leaders and the governor's office, asked about the idea of increasing state taxpayer funds for Chicago public schools with declining enrollment. Johnson said for there to be transformational change, it costs money.
Actually, enrollment continues to increase. We've actually seen our system stabilized.
He is also an advocate for a new proposed lakefront dome stadium for the Chicago Bears, something that could have a taxpayer cost associated with it.
You have a 100-year-old building that has millions of dollars in debt. And so you have this asset that is not getting the full benefit for the people of the state of Illinois.
Legislators continue spring session. They have until May 31st to pass a budget with simple majorities. Both chambers return Thursday. I'm Katrina Peterson.
Those are the top stories from the past week. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, the production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Tired of being in the dark about what happens day to day under the dome in Springfield? Do you want to be more informed in the decision-making process? If so, you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch elected officials in action, holding them accountable, and having your say on issues that matter most to you. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to stay informed about Illinois state government and to be a more engaged citizen. Become a subscriber today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. We are recording this on Thursday, May 9th. A memo sent to Illinois state agencies from the Office of Governor J.B. Pritzker instructs department heads to prepare for $800 million in overall cuts to their respective budget proposals as resistance grows to the governor's proposed $1 billion in new tax hikes. The Center Square obtained a copy of the memo and reported the breaking news earlier Thursday. Joining me to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Associate Editor. Greg, you broke this story at the Center Square. Tell us what this is about.
So when the governor proposed a budget in February, he's looking to spend $52.7 billion. And that, of course, is the largest state budget in state history. If you look back just 5 to 10 years ago, I mean, I remember when I first started covering state government, $32 billion was a lot of money. But with $52.7 billion proposed, the governor's proposal also included around $1 billion of tax increases. Those proposed tax increases ranged from doubling the state's tax on sports betting companies, looking at around $200 million for that. There was a cap on the sales tax that retailers get when they get a discount for collecting sales tax. That would have been about $101 million increased tax revenue. There was also $93 million in adjustments to the individual income tax standard deduction. And a big one was proposed increase in the cap of net operating loss deductions for businesses, estimated to raise more than $500 million.
Wow.
So all of that combined, about $1 billion in various tax increases that the governor was looking to implement for, you know, new state agency spending, new programs, including early childhood developments. But apparently there's been enough pushback from the various industries impacted by this to where the governor doesn't seem to be getting enough traction from state legislators who are tasked with not just crafting a budget, but passing a budget by the May 31st deadline. And that deadline's rapidly approaching here, Dan. And what we have in front of us is this memo from the governor's office. The deputy governor, Andy Menar, said it's becoming clear that opposition to the proposed revenue is significant enough to, quote, direct agencies to prepare for the possibility of reductions to the proposed spending. He also goes on to say that they have to prepare to implement a potential balanced budget scenario with $800 million less in available revenue. Something else that the memo went on to highlight that you know, those ARPA dollars, those federal tax dollars that states got flooded with during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
He notes that those federal ARPA dollars are drying up. And as those are going to be by the wayside, he says that, you know, that helped them make certain types of programs sustainable. But without that additional revenue, these types of programs are not going to be able to be sustained. So we're looking at, you know, the possibility that the budget could come $800 million short of what the governor proposed. How that'll be managed, what kinds of cuts state agencies may make, what kinds of programs may, you know, have to be ratcheted back. One of the big things the governor has talked about is more early childhood development centers, more funding for early childhood development and daycare centers. So that alone is a couple of $100 million. Then you have the increased funding for K through 12 education, $350 million. Is that going to be able to be fulfilled? So there's going to be a lot of questions to answer as we head into the final few weeks of legislative session.
I remember way back during the COVID years, 2020, 2021, when Congress went on a spending spree, sending all these COVID relief dollars to states, to municipalities, et cetera. I remember at the Center Square, we reported widely over and over again that economists and fiscal watchdogs, you know, warned these are one-time federal relief dollars. They're not going to be coming in year in, year and out. There's an expiration date on this. So these should go to one-time expenses. Apparently, then, maybe Governor Pritzker and the General Assembly didn't heed those warnings because of these new programs that we've been spending on and paying for since the COVID relief dollars came in. Second point is of Governor Pritzker's proposed tax hikes. I know the business community, you know, small businesses, the state's job creators pushed back hard on that cap that the Governor Pritzker proposed on the net operating loss deduction. Was that the main driver? Do you have any idea yet? Is that still developing?
Well, and I think it's not just that. Yeah, that was a main major revenue increase. Again, $526 million estimated by that cap. But I think that you also have the retailers across the state who, you know, sell you your goods. And they also act as a de facto tax man because they're tasked with assessing and collecting sales taxes on things. To do that, they get a discount on their taxes for acting as the government's tax collector and then remitting those taxes back to the state. They pushed back on this cap that they were going to be facing with this So you've got mom and pop shops, big retailers all across the state that didn't like that idea too much. But I think also the states looking to and the governor looking to double the tax on sports betting companies, that as well is a pretty contentious issue with sports betting companies even signaling they might not operate in Illinois if that's the case, or that the taxes would just be pushed down onto the cost of sports bettors. So clearly, these various proposals floated in February, not gaining much traction, not necessarily with the business communities, but also with the legislators who are tasked with crafting and passing that budget with simple majorities. And I think that that's the thing here that people have to take note of. You know, right now we're recording this on May 9th, Thursday. They're off tomorrow. They're coming back next week, and then it's going to be a sprint to May 24th when they are scheduled to adjourn. But they have budget contingent days scheduled through May 31st because May 31st is the deadline per the Constitution for them to pass bills, including the state budget, including any revenue increases, including anything else. If they want an immediate effective date, then they have to pass it by May 31st with simple majorities. So if you don't have even the simple majorities on board to approve these taxes, clearly the governor's memo is telling state agencies we're going to have to try to find $800 million in those proposed budget requests to shore up some of these costs.
Also, the Illinois Freedom Caucus, which is a caucus of Republican conservative lawmakers, held a news conference to address this very issue. You listened in. Just give us a brief summary of what was said there.
I think a good takeaway is they said, "We told you so." You recall, and people can find the archives at thecentersquare.com, the Freedom Caucus and other Republican groups, they said even after the governor's budget proposal back in February that increasing taxes like this is not going to be popular, that the budget proposed is a lot of dreams that taxpayers can't afford. And ultimately, the Freedom Caucus today, after this memo was reported out, you've got the Freedom Caucus saying we told you so and urging the governor to shape up the budget, to not increase spending and to give taxpayers more relief. And some of the things they said are really driving this, especially the governor's request for $1 billion in extra increased tax revenue, they say is that ongoing cost of the migrant crisis in the state of Illinois. Illinois has already spent upwards to $1 billion since August of 2022. In having to deal with direct services for migrants being transported from the southern U.S. border to the state of Illinois. So housing lawyers to get to their asylum hearings or to help them with work permits, food, education. And then you attack on the $700+ million of non-citizen health care costs. All of that adds up, and they say that the governor needs to address that if he really wants to get to the bottom of having a truly balanced budget as is required by the state constitution.
Greg, it wasn't just J.B. Pritzker and his administration who was looking for these $1 billion in tax hikes to fund additional programming. Just yesterday, Wednesday, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson was in Springfield asking legislative leaders, the governor's office, for more money for Chicago. After this today's news, I don't know if that bodes well for him or not, but he's seeking $1 billion more in additional spending or funding for Chicago public schools. Of course, there's the Chicago Bears stadium proposal that seeks state taxpayer dollars. Tell us a little bit more about Johnson's visit to Springfield.
Yeah, so the Chicago mayor in his first term, making the tour, talking with legislative leaders and even meeting with the governor's staff, he said that he was down here, you know, expanding upon relationships and looking to, you know, essentially get, a working order to where they can get what Chicago needs, he says. But after the day of talking with legislative leaders and touring the Capitol, he took questions from the media where a question was asked, you know, why should the Chicago public schools with declining enrollments get more more taxpayer money from the state of Illinois. And Johnson said enrollment continues to increase. Now, this is after year after year after year of a decline in enrollment of Chicago public schools. But a decline in enrollment didn't see a decline in state funding going to Chicago public schools. State funding continued to increase. So he's actually looking for an additional $1 billion there. But he's also got something else that he's going to have to contend with. And it's not just Chicago public schools. You've got a teachers union contract with Johnson being a ally of the Chicago Teachers Union that could also increase overall costs for Chicago public schools. So I imagine he's going to be likely putting pressure on legislators to try to get as much for CPS as he can. One reason why he was down here. But it's not just CPS. You've also got the transit system in Chicago, which is facing a substantial fiscal cliff. And there are proposals to consolidate Chicagoland Transit, give it $700 million. And where is that money going to come from? Then you work in other big issues like the Chicago Bears proposed Lakefront Dome Stadium, where that's expected to have a substantial investment from the Chicago Bears, but it also comes with substantial investment from taxpayers, either be it hotel motel taxes or bonding through a state financing authority backed by taxpayers. And Johnson's an advocate of that. So we've got a whole host of issues that Johnson's looking to tackle, while he also has to tackle the ongoing migrant crisis and an estimated costs on the city's side of $70 million, while the county picks up $70 million, and the governor looking to approve $181 million in the next fiscal year to deal with direct costs concerning the migrants in the state of Illinois from the southern U.S. border. So a lot is on the table here in Springfield, and it's all costing taxpayers.
Let's talk a little bit more about one of the specific things you mentioned about increased funding requests or increased costs on taxpayers. And that has to do with a consolidation in the Chicago area of the CTA, Metra, and PACE. We reported at the Center Square that a consolidation of those agencies could cost taxpayers $1.5 billion on top of the current expenses. With all these new funding requests, all these new taxpayer cost requests, I just don't see how this stuff gets done.
Yeah, and this idea of consolidating Chicago Transit Authority, Metra, and PACE in the Chicagoland area, that's a proposal that's being floated at the State House, and you've got some pushback, especially from some of the suburban areas that have their own kinds of transit oversight. And one of the proponents of consolidation, State Senator Ron Villivallum, he's proposed this and looking at trying to get more conversation about it, but he also had another companion bill because right now there's about a $730 million funding gap, and that could be an impetus as to why they're looking to consolidate these things and to have more state taxpayer dollars go to it. Keep in mind, the governor's proposed budget, it includes sweeping some road fund money to give to Chicagoland Transit. And that's something that even the road construction groups in Illinois have pushed back on. But transit's looking at $730 million funding gap. You've got State Senator Ron Villivallum wanting to consolidate things to help consolidate costs. But he has a companion bill that could, as he says, be a placeholder for what an annual cost could be at $1.5 billion. Now, there's a difference there, right? $730 million versus $1.5 billion. Villivallum told us that, you know, we all want to build a world-class public transit system for the year 2050, not just plug a hole. So clearly, again, this isn't just about making sure that the financial cliff isn't, you know, people don't fall down that. They're also looking to increase overall costs to make it what they call a world-class public transit system. Dan, I live in the Springfield area. I drive everywhere. There's not a lot of public transit when it comes to me getting around. But, you know, I'll ask you, do you see buses in trains in and around the area in Chicagoland? Are they full or are they empty? I think one of the big things that's going to be have to be addressed in all of this is, are these public transit systems really being utilized as much as maybe some people think they are?
Well, Greg, yeah, just personal anecdote on that. I live within 5 minutes of one of the metro stations and used to take the train in regularly, a couple times a week, into the Chicago office. And I used to take an early train so I could be there by 8:15 or so. So I was on a train at 6:30. And even at that hour, that early hour, the parking lots were full. Whenever I drive by the parking lots now, even mid-morning, midday, they're two-thirds empty. I know we've reported at the Center Square nationally, not just in Chicago, but in major metros across the country, ridership remains significantly down since the pre-pandemic numbers. And these agencies, these transit agencies, are having a hard time luring riders back. Many people still remotely. Many people might go into the office once or twice a week as opposed to five times a week previously. So this is a tough ask. There's no doubt about it. And that, of course, is lost revenue for these transit agencies because they lose fare revenue. Fewer people are paying to ride these agencies. Greg, we got just a little bit of time for one last topic I want to talk about. I can't believe we're going to be talking about it, but we are going to be talking about it. There's been a suggestion or a push to decriminalize prostitution in the state of Illinois. There was a news conference yesterday, Wednesday, with the proponents of the proposal. Tell us what happened there.
And this is actually just a little bit of lifting the curtain behind the scenes here. You know, there's a lot of news conferences that happen in Springfield, especially when the legislature is in session. And we had thought we were going to hear from one group scheduled to do a news conference 9 o'clock in the morning. They were going to talk about prescription drug pricing. So we're all ready to hear about the intricacies of prescription drug pricing. Dan, that's not what happened. Another group took over the podium and people were holding up signs saying protect sex workers. And then it was Equality Illinois, an LGBTQ community group, advocacy group. They got up there and started talking about a couple of different proposals. One in particular, they said, has not been filed yet, but they're working to get it together and it would legalize sex work in exchange for money, or as some people would call it, prostitution. And this kind of caught all of us off guard. We were just wondering, did this other group cancel? What happened here? So a little bit of lifting the curtain in our kind of astonishment at this subject matter coming up. We were not prepared for it. But once we did take it in and understand what they were talking about, you know, they're looking at possibly crafting something. Will it happen before the end of session in this month? Not likely, but maybe it's a conversation starter. But ultimately, they want to have the law change to where those who do exchange money for that type of, I guess, service, that they would be protected because the advocates say that right now there's no real protection. If somebody is, you know, beat up by their clients, they could themselves be prosecuted simply for taking part in that illicit activity. So how it would all work, not sure, but you already have state legislators who are themselves in law enforcement. State Representative John Cabello, he said that this idea is dangerous. He says that he doesn't see how it would work. He says a lot of individuals in the sex work industry do it to support drug addiction. And he says that this is clearly something that could put people in harm's way, let alone the logistics of it, having groups possibly, wanting to do background checks on their clientele. And he doesn't think that that's even something that would be amenable to some Democrats at the State House who don't like the idea of background checks for various things. So clearly, he says that he's shocked. And I think that a lot of people seeing this headline at the CenterSquare.com, decriminalizing prostitution in Illinois proposed, lawmakers shocked at idea. That's going to get a lot of people's attention. We'll track that story to see if indeed a bill gets filed either this year, next year, or beyond. Just be sure to stay subscribed to the CenterSquare.com.
Greg, thank you for joining us today. Listeners can keep up with all of this story and more, as Greg just said, at thecentersquare.com.